050 on the radio. This is December 21st, 2005. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We got a little something new for you, a little Christmas list. And say, hey, Christmas is around the corner. And we also have a review in the NFL. Hey, we will be back here. Excuse me. We will be back here on Christmas Eve. We'll talk about who's been naughty or nice. That's pretty much all around sports this year. And we'll review and we'll preview Week 16. As well, you know, it's that time of year, and it is big time. So, before we even start on the NBA Christmas list, we have a caller early on. They're not messing around this morning. Hey, can't say I'm too surprised, but caller, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello?
Oh, that may be me. This is Michael from D.C.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Mike?
Good. D.C. by way of New York.
Okay, all right. D.C. by the way of New York. All right, then. How you doing this?
Doing well. Can I ask a question?
Oh, you sure can. All right. Ask away.
I want to get your analysis on Kirk Cousins. And the job that you've done in D.C. this year with the Shins.
Well, he has been under tremendous pressure, been the pressure cooker around here, the whole RG3 scenario, you know, and right now they have the Skins have benefited from being in the NFC East, but the fact of the matter is he has gotten better as time has gone on. He played, I would say, his best game of his career yesterday against the Bills. We haven't talked about it yet, but Danny yesterday never even gave the Bills a chance all day long. And I have no problem saying I've been critical of the whole Skins management and such in their decision making, but the fact of the matter is, right now they're rolling nice. They're 7-7. They control their own playoff life. They win on Saturday. It's a done deal. They win the division. No questions asked. And Kirk Cousins has been a big part of that. Yesterday, I think his approval came down when the fans started chanting, "You like that?" In FedEx. I'm not going to say it was everybody, but it was clearly heard, "You like that." He has been accurate all year long. He has done what Jay Gruden has wanted him to do. He has kept it short, kept it easy. He has made the passes when they've needed them. He has been going to Jordan Reed left and right with tremendous success. As I believe Jordan Reed may be the starting tight end in the Pro Bowl, depending on what happens with Greg Olsen. I believe he will be in the Pro Bowl, but he might be starting in the Pro Bowl. You know, to say anything that he's been very, very good this year. He's been very good this year. He has definitely earned himself. I would say he has earned himself a contract. A max contract, no, but a very serviceable contract, yes. I think he should at least get the amount that RG3 was scheduled to get next year had had its extension gone over, which is, I believe, $16.5 million, I believe. So did that answer your question, Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, I think that you got to give Kirk Cousins a lot of credit. And I think the way you started off your comments about him being under a lot of pressure, I think that's very true. So you definitely have to give him credit for facing adversity and responding well. I mean, I think that he is a kind of quarterback, a young quarterback that needed a vote of confidence, you know what I'm saying, from the organization, from the large organization that is, in terms of ownership, the coaching staff. They just needed people to believe in him. And then I think that trickles down to the players and then the fan base. And so, you know, he's going to throw interceptions, but it hasn't become problematic as it has been in the past for him. So I think you got to give him credit for that, you know, that he's been able to overcome that.
Yes, he has. My criticism of the skin has been talking out of both sides of their mouth. You know, don't say, well, you know, if RG3 wasn't really sure to be your starter, if he wasn't the best dude, why is he named the starter before the season starts? Why even do that? Why not put it to a competition? There were so many missed messages about the whole scenario, and you know, I stake no claim. I could care less who's the quarterback. Just tell me who's the quarter. You know, if you don't know who the quarterback is, well then just say that. Don't come up here and say, well, RG3 is our quarterback, and after two preseason games, pretty much say that. Well, nah, he's not really the quarterback. Where's Kirk Cousins going to be the quarterback? Well, that sends missed messages. And that sends the wrong message. And the fact is, to me, it sounds like they never intended on him being a starting quarterback. So why not get rid of him? Why not trade him? Now, you're not going to get anything for him, because he's going to be a free agent and he's going to go wherever he wants. And, you know, I know personally, being from Texas, that both Texas organizations want. So now, if he goes to the Cowboys, I mean, heaven forbid, I mean, as bitter as the rivalry is now, the fact that he would be in a chance at RG3 play in Dallas against the skin, where the fans already dislike RG3, will make the rivalry just that much more intense. And the fact that you know that RG3 would be playing with a chip on his shoulder. And we don't need another Cowboy fan with a chip on his shoulder. Anybody that knows the story about Roger Staubach after he lost the 1972 championship game, he vowed the Cowboys would never lose an important matchup with the Skins ever again. Up until his last game in the regular season, down 13 points with 5 minutes left, came back to win the game. So that's where you have people like, oh man, we sure hope that he doesn't, you know, that he doesn't go, because that's the problem with the Skins, of course. Skins come up, they let somebody go, he goes someplace else and he flourished. I mean, you know, yesterday you couldn't tell, but Bakari Rambo, he's starting for the Bills, and you're like, wait a minute, he was a Skin, he was drafted by the Skins just a little while ago. So, and I'm a Raider fan, I see David Emerson all the time starting for the Raiders and having almost a Pro Bowl type season. But Skins right now, they're 7-7. You can't complain about the results. They're on top. They're in first place. And Kirk Cousins is a huge, huge, huge factor in that. Yeah, because a lot of people pretty much given up on the season and beforehand. And well, what are they doing with the quarterback scenario? And early on, he was turning over the ball, which is his tendency, but as he's had now, he's had the experience, the time, and he's been very good. The last month, he's been excellent. I would say it started with the I think the turning point of the season, without a doubt, and I think most Skins fans would agree, with Tampa Bay coming back and winning the game. That crossed him over to I believe the consciousness of the doubters. Like, okay, let's give him a chance. And he's been brilliant the last 2 games. I'll say 3 of the last 4 games. Cowboy game, I'll just throw out the window because that just wasn't a good night. But the Skins are on a roll. They're in first place. The nation's capital is buzzing, and I can tell you right now, in a good mood. I can tell you that right now. Anything else, Mike?
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I wanted to mention was, the great sort of rise of Kirk Cousins, and as a Redskins fan, a lot of fun to watch. But I don't think I've seen a pass-catching tight end like Jordan Reed since Kellen Winslow. I wonder what your thoughts are about that.
I have gone on record saying that Rob Gronkowski will break every record tight end receiving if he can stay healthy. But Jordan Reed adds a new dimension to the Skins that they haven't had in years. In my opinion, it's just something that the Skins fans haven't had in years. That is not necessarily a pass catching tight end, but a tight end with speed that can get downfield like he can. We've seen tight ends left and right with the Skins, with Clint Didier's and the Chris Cooley's, so on and so forth. But Jordan Reed can get downfield. So now you have a problem because you got to deal with Jordan Reed, and then you still got a deep threat in DeSean Jackson, and then you still have Pierre Garçon, who's still out there roaming around knowing that he can make a big play. I mean, right now they're hitting on all cylinders right now. They're really rolling. I mean, there's nothing else to say. They are really rolling right now. The Skins are, and like I said at the start of the show, I think Jordan Reed will be starting as a tight end in the Pro Bowl, because the only other competition would be Greg Olsen, and I believe Greg Olsen will be playing in the Super Bowl, and so. Who else is there? There's nobody else out there that's anywhere near Jordan Reed this year. And in the last, I'd probably say last 5 games, there hasn't been a tight end better than Greg Olsen, period, in the league. He's been phenomenal. And like I said, the Redskins are rolling. I mean, hey, just 7-7, first place in the NFC East, which is what everybody needs to focus on. I understand 7-7, like, hey, that's an average team, but hey, they're first place in the NFC East. And right now they're playing football better than they have since 2012, without question. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it. That's it, bud.
That's it? All right, Mike, we'll appreciate you and call back again soon.
Okay, man.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Well, had to talk to Mike there. So we're going to skip past our NBA Christmas list. We're going to put that on Christmas Eve, and we're going to just deal with the NFL like we talked about. The Skins, they stay hot at home. They ran through the Bills yesterday, 35-25. Do not let the score fool you. The Redskins laid it on the Bills yesterday. Kirk Cousins was phenomenal. 22-29, 319 yards. He threw 4 touchdowns. He had a sound run. He was unbelievable. He had a 99.0 QBR. I mean, he has just been outstanding. And check this out. Everybody in the area has been wanting him to throw on first down. But they say, oh, the running game isn't working. Well, first of all, Alfred Morris had 14 carries for 84 yards. So you can't say that. Second of all, we did throw on first down. And he was 12 for 13 for 189 yards and four touchdowns on first down. And, hey, his big-time weapons were big-time yesterday. DeSean Jackson, 6 carries, 153 yards. That touchdown was one of the best plays of the year. And then Jordan Reed, 7 catches, 84 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. How about this? This is an amazing stat. The last 2 weeks, Cousins has targeted Jordan Reed 16 times, and he has completed 16 passes. It's just been rolling against the Skins again. 7-7, a play for the division title on Saturday. We'll get to that in a little bit. Meanwhile, the Raiders, well, they ran into a juggernaut now. They're just really struggling as they came up against the Green Bay Packers. The Packers come up. They clinch a playoff spot, beating the Raiders 30-20. Aaron Rodgers, he had a pretty pedestrian day again, 204 yards. He had a touchdown and an interception. And he did not do well against the blitz at all. I think he was like 6-4. And not really getting it done. He finally did go to one of his wide receivers, James Jones, to catch it, 82 yards. And the Raiders, like I said, they really been struggling. Derek Carr, 276 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. One was a pick six. And Wilbur's touchdown pass went to Amari Cooper, 6 catches, 120 yards. He's still vying for the Offensive Rookie of the Year. So the Packers do clinch. The Raiders continue to fall. Meanwhile, in Dallas on Saturday, the Jets took out the Cowboys, eliminating them from playoff competition. 19-16, Brian Fitzpatrick, 299 yards, a touchdown and a pick, and it was really big time. He was big time in the fourth quarter. But how about this? 18 straight games with a touchdown pass for the Jets. How about this? Eric Decker, who caught the touchdown pass, and Brandon Marshall, 21 touchdowns, most for a tandem in Jets history. Now, a lot of Jets have had some wide receivers through the years, but they've never had a tandem like Decker and Marshall. Interesting for the Cowboys, they had Kellen Moore come out there. Matt Castle threw an ugly interception. They put Kellen Moore in there, and Kellen Moore threw 3 interceptions. He also threw a touchdown, but it was interesting. Anytime you had him throw past 15 yards, he was 1-4 with 2 interceptions. And when he would throw inside the numbers, he was 7-10. That's where he threw his touchdown pass. But when he threw outside the numbers, 8-13, 3 interceptions. Just saying, that's why he's not in the NFL. Like, we needed clearance on that. We already knew Kellen Moore, his arm was the difficulty. The Vikings rolled over they romped the Bears yesterday, 38-17. Teddy Bridgewater, man, he is getting better and better. 17-20, 231 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a touchdown run on Adrian Peterson. He's kind of off lately. 18 carries, 63 yards. He better get it going. Doug Martin's going to catch him if he's not careful. And the Vikings, now they're 9-5. You will hear that record a lot, seemingly. They're 9-5, seeing if they can get a wild card spot. It's going to be crazy and it's going to be hectic. We will go over the playoff scenarios on Thursday. Meanwhile, the Houston Texans. Oh, my goodness, they are joyous up in Houston. They are talking trash. Why? Because yesterday they beat the Colts 16-10, but it wasn't that. It was the first time they have beaten the Colts in Indianapolis in franchise history. They had never beat them before. They beat them this time. And of all things, they did not have their starting quarterback, and they did not have their backup quarterback, T.J. Yates. He got hurt running for a first down in the game. So they were down to their third-string quarterback. Who was their third-string quarterback? Well, they remember him in Dallas. His name was Brandon Wheaton. Brandon Wheaton went 11 of 18, 105 yards and a touchdown. He snapped 25 straight Texan drives without a touchdown. And he really is he really has to be credited for the victory, because they were really in trouble. They were down 10-0. Calmed them down. They rolled right down, got the victory, and now the Colts, they go now. Oh my goodness, they have to be in limbo. Well, hey, my U peeps over there, Andre Johnson and Frank Gore, they haven't gotten it done this year. They have been a severe disappointment. They got to go because they put them all of that big money that will be coming up later. They have to go. So basically the only big-time receiver is Dante Moncrief. Well, I'm sorry, T.J. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. Andre Johnson is almost in the way, but they don't have a running back right now. And then you got Andrew Luck, who was struggling this year. Boy, the Colts, remember, they were my Super Bowl pick at the beginning of the season. Ooh, I don't even like saying that out loud. And now they look like they are done for the playoffs. As the Texans, they have a game lead. Now, I know a lot of things can happen in 2 weeks, but work with me here. I'll tell you why in a sec. Meanwhile, the Panthers, they keep on going undefeated. This time, they beat the Giants 38-35. They had a 35-7 lead on the Giants. You thought the game was over, and Eli brought them back. Unbelievable offensive numbers in this one. Cam Newton, oh my gracious. All I got to say is unbelievable. 25 of 35, 340 yards, 5 touchdown passes. He also ran for 100 yards in this game. It is his third different game throwing throwing 5 touchdowns. Now, and you don't have that too often. And then how about the fact throwing 5 touchdown passes and running for 100 yards? That hadn't happened in 30 years. Are you kidding me? Oh, unbelievable. Meanwhile, Eli Manning was fantastic. 26 of 46, 245 yards. He had 4 touchdowns. He did throw an interception. Odell Beckham and Josh Norman, boy, they went at each other a lot. But the Giants fell, and thus they are now no longer tied for first in the NFC East. Meanwhile, in New England, the Patriots, they just bounced the Titans 33-16. Tom Brady threw for 2 touchdowns, 267 yards. And amazingly, he was just hitting the running backs primarily. 10 of 12 throwing to the running backs for 159 yards, a touchdown. Now, the key was that Marcus Mariota, he got injured. He injured his knee. They do not think he will be back. And the fact is, that is why the Texans have such a huge advantage there. Texans will not have to see Mariota. They will have to see, again, that Mettenberger. They saw him earlier in the year. That's what got their defense going. Remember, that defense had that tremendous 4-game streak where they were giving up less than 10 points a game. Well, now they're going to see Mettenberger again. They are back. They're rolling again defensively after stopping the Colts. Meanwhile, can you say anything about the Kansas City Chiefs? Remember, 1-5 at one point, ladies and gentlemen. Now they are 9-5 as they rolled over the Ravens 34-14. Alex Smith, 21 of 25, 171 yards, 1 touchdown. That's all they're asking him to do. Dude, Jondrick West had 76 yards rushing and a touchdown. But how about this? 2 defensive touchdowns for the Chiefs. That's how they're getting it done. Done 9-5, 8 in a row. They are rolling. Nobody wants to play that team in the playoffs. Nobody. Trust me on this one. Meanwhile, the Seattle Seahawks, if they come, everybody's been waiting for them to break out. And, well, I guess they've decided to make their move now as they rolled over the Cleveland Browns 30-13. They also are now 9-5 by Russell Wilson. He has been unbelievable. Threw for 249 yards, 3 touchdowns. That is 5 straight games with 3 or more touchdowns. I mean, the guy is unbelievable right now. Tied for the second longest streak in the last 10 years. How about this? Downs in 4 games. Games he had two yesterday. And that's Jerry Rice type stuff that he's doing right now. Now, Doug Baldwin. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, big time victory for the Steelers. Coming back to beat the Broncos 34-27. Ben Roethlisberger, how about this? 40 of 55, 380 yards. He threw 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Antonio Brown, if he isn't the best wide receiver, as they say, it don't take long to call a roll. 16 catches, 189 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's the first player ever to have a pair of 16 reception games in the same season. He has been rolling. Hey, you can't really take it away from Brock Osweiler. He did not have a bad game, threw for 296 yards. And, you know, he did have an interception, but, man, he was pretty good. But the Broncos still couldn't get it done. And now the Broncos, they are falling quick. And you know the Chiefs are coming. Just telling everybody, you got to play all season long. The Broncos had that huge lead. Now it's not so huge anymore. They're 10-4. You better watch out, Broncos. You got to keep it rolling. But meanwhile, the Bengals, they clinched the division, beating the 49ers 24-14. A.J. McCarron didn't do a bad job. Went 15-21, 192 yards, a touchdown. Now, when he's thrown the ball downfield, he's had his 39 yards, a touchdown when he threw the ball 15 or more yards. That was his second game. He's had 2 games throwing the ball downfield really successfully. A little bit different than Andy Dalton. Blaine Gabbert, he threw 3 interceptions, but, hey, a lot of it wasn't his fault. The 49ers had 7 drops yesterday, and 2 of those drops, they were the ones intercepted. And in the Sunday night game, the Arizona Cardinals beat down the Eagles 40-17. Carson Palmer, 274 yards, touchdown. That gives him 30 on the season. How about this? Carson Palmer, first 2 seasons, he had 30 touchdowns. He hadn't had 30 since until last week, until last night. 9 seasons in between. The 30 touchdowns, that's the longest in NFL history. He had David Johnson, 29 rushes, 187 yards, 3 touchdowns. How about this? 12 all-purpose touchdowns for David Johnson. All-purpose. He's done it every way you can look at it, rushing, receiving, returns. He has 12 of most by rookie in franchise history. Hey, the Eagles, they're now 6-8. Just like the Giants, again, they play the Skins on Saturday night. They will be playing for first. They will be playing to try to stay in the division hunt. That's the only thing you're playing for in the NFC East. No wild cards coming out of there. And also the Giants, they're still lingering over at 6-8. They can make themselves a factor with some help. Thursday, we're going to go back to the Christmas list on Thursday, talk about it then. Also preview week 16 that'll be coming up. All right, so we'll talk to you then. Toodaloo. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.